have to call the meeting to order.
Oh, yeah.
First things first.
Yeah. The time is 6:34. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Tuesday, September 8th, 2015, to order.
David Hallman?
Present.
Michael Gabo?
Here.
Greg Retzloff?
Here.
Leah Blow?
Here.
Blow.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Anita Johnson? Okay. And David Arrington? Youth and Governance, Sarah Klimisch?
Here.
And Jasmine Zeden?
Here.
Forgive me, I always try to be kind of formal, and so the name thing kind of threw my rhythm off. Citizen comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? If so, please come forward to address the committee. State your name and address for the record. You have 5 minutes. Seeing no citizen comments is closed. Agenda item number, if there's no objection, can we take agenda items number 3, 4, and 5 together?
Two are reappointments and one is a new appointment. So the first two are reappointments to a board.
Is there an objection to that, or take?
I have no objection.
I have no objection.
Okay, seeing none, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Frank Pacetti to serve on the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. Agenda item 4, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Amy Malott to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. Agenda item number 5, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Supervisor Leah Blau to the Kenosha County Human Services Board. Mr. Jansen, good evening.
Good evening. The first two, Mr. Pacetti and Ms. Malott, are reappointments to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. And the last one is Supervisor Blau being appointed on the Human Service Board. She is here tonight if you have questions of her. But since the other two are reappointments, their attendance is not required. So I don't know if you have specific questions, but each of these positions on the Workforce Development Board require that you fill a certain role. For example, under Mr. Pacetti, it's transportation and housing. And since the city runs that, we have to pull in somebody from the city to sit on our board. And Ms. Malott is in, would fill one of the private business positions that she works for, I believe, Society Assets. I don't know if there's any specific questions on those folks. And Ms. Blau would be filling a vacancy on our Human Service Board as a County Board Supervisor, which is a mixture of County Board Supervisors and citizens.
Any questions for me?
Yeah, but we'll do it later.
What's the attendance record of Mr. Pacetti and Ms. Malott?
It was attached, Mr. Pacetti attended
11 out of 13.
Yeah. And it says her.
Well, it says her.
His. It should be. Let me look at Ms. Malott. I believe she was 11 out of 13. To excuse.
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve by Supervisor Gable. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Blau. Are we taking all of these at once? Do we want to split them up? What is the committee's pleasure?
We can do them all at once, unless we have an objection.
Okay, is there an objection done them all at once? Sorry, I came from the black church, so like you have to like speak. Otherwise, I just see this and scrolling.
I can listen and scroll.
I know. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for a response. Is it like they're talking with the two of you? Haven't said anything.
I'm shaking. I shook my head.
You said, "Are there any
objections?" Okay. And
I'm sorry.
Object,
I'm with this tonight, so that's why I'm just kind of being picky that way. Okay. Seeing none. Youth and Governance.
No. I or me, if you want.
Oh, I'm aye.
Asking
oh, I thought you meant, is there no objection?
I apologize. I should have made it clear. It was, were there any objections to taking all three of the resolutions as a block? In other words, moving them at one time as opposed to taking each one separately.
Okay, no objections for me for that.
Okay. All right. Well, right. Nobody on that side of the table said anything, so I figured we're okay. So there's a motion to approve. There's a second. So the question is approval of all three. Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 6, mental health issues update.
As promised at our county board as a whole meeting about 2 weeks ago, we said we'd come back to Human Service Committee and provide you with monthly updates. On our agenda tonight, and Laverne's going to go over this, is kind of our progress on the study that we'd like to have done, what we're looking at, and also she's also attached some of the policy initiatives on mental health access, and an article that happened to be in today's Kenosha News about shortage of psychiatrists across the United States. So, turn it over to Laverne.
Well, the first sheet you have is talks about the scope of the study that we want to engage in, and the expected outcome of that study would be a recommended action plan and cost consisting of 3 to 4 areas in which to improve mental health care and service for Kenosha County adults and children. The time frame we're expecting is between September and November of this year. I know that that members of the board are concerned about trying to get it moving as quickly as possible, but we want to, this is an opportunity we want to really take advantage of to make sure that we do it right and that it's a very thorough study. The process will include collecting information from our county service data on clients, programs, expenses, revenues, length of stay, wait list, service system within the county, the capacity of the system, gaps and opportunities. secondly, looking at the service environment, the history of mental health services in Kenosha County, what happened in the past with the hospitals, and moving forward to our 51 system, our look to who are our providers, the facilities, capacity, stakeholders, and relationships among them. We'd also be looking at potential resources, sources for recruitment of both psychiatrists and physician extenders, possibility of internships, looking at beds as well. And also then looking at promising practices and other models. The consultants would be talking to key informants. That would include staff, the key staff of DADS, Division of Aging and Disability Services, and DCFS staff, Kenosha Human Development Services, particularly their adult and juvenile crisis and mental health clinic staff, law enforcement, corporation counsel, hospital administrators, both local and the regional mental health facilities, NAMI and consumer representatives, the Kenosha Community Health Center, the Families First program, which works with youth, key psychiatric residency, physician assistant and nurse practitioner programs, and others that may be identified. It will also include an on-site process review. We want to have the consultants spend some time at the crisis debriefing that is done regularly at KIDS, Kenosha Human Development Services. Take a look at the care center, mental health clinic, and other programs that might be identified. Review the early findings with the Human Services Department team and the county executive. And then present early findings at a meeting of community stakeholders. This would be people in the community who are interested in that issue, people, the key informants, as well as others, county board members would be invited and others to that meeting. And then get feedback from that group, bring it back and follow up on any suggestions resulting from that stakeholder meeting, and then develop a report. The report would include specific strategies and related costs for addressing the shortage of psychiatrists and the shortage of psychiatric beds,
and also some strategies for reducing the need for hospitalization. We know some of the programs that we're doing and we think are effective, but we'd like to have that outside look at those programs as well. And then bringing this information back to the committee, to the full county board, however you would like to see that presented.
Supervisor Decker.
Your key informant interviews, are you, just a thought about talking to the judges, since they're the ones that place some of these people, and how much a day?
Sure.
Yeah, I think when we put the 51 system up here, it would, that would include the judges, so we just will keep that into the key informant of the boss.
To follow up, sometimes the people are released. The judge releases them as they're, you know, before they actually get, like we heard that last month. In other words, they're being released from jail, but they're starting to get into a program, and the judge will turn around and release them when they're halfway through, you know, maybe a little better coordination.
Well, that would, yeah, that would be part of the system, looking at the system and, you know, talking to the people at kind of at each piece of the system.
Supervisor Black.
Yeah, I have a question. That article that you had at the committee, the whole meeting, was talking about a program that they have up in Green Bay that just recently graduated like 38 people, and it's some sort of accelerated program that they have. You know, would you be able to find out more about what that was all about?
We could take a look.
I found that kind of interesting when we had the meeting. It's like, well, what is that all about? And is it something that maybe we can get down here?
Having like Parkside as a
right, yeah, exactly.
Supervisor Retzloff.
Yeah, I'd like to see if we could. I know last one said present to the board or committees. I would really like to see us do it at a committee level first. And anyone that was from the board that wants to come to this committee obviously can. I really would like to see that, especially after we had that meeting the other night. When I would think half those people could care less. One guy even called it, let's quit talking about it. So I think, is that something we could do here first?
If you would like, we
can. I'd like to.
Sure.
Senator Brown, we certainly will present to this committee. And we do have to report back to the board as a whole in 90 days, but
sure,
what we have then and what we want to share with you, we will come here first and then go that way.
Thank you.
You'll get monthly updates from us.
Okay, thank you.
I can be your warm-up back for the third floor.
The second piece of information is you had asked about advocacy opportunities, and so we've been doing a little checking around. And on a state level, just to review some things that have been done at the state there, with the previous, with 2013 to 2015 biennial budget, the state did expand the Comprehensive Community Services, CCS. And that was a program that we, in order to participate in the, in order to get the state match for the federal dollars that were going into it, we formed a partnership with, or consortium with Racine County. And that's taken a while to kind of get moving. I know certainly we have enrolled more both in adults and certainly in the juvenile side have enrolled a lot of young people in CCS, and we see that as an opportunity too to help to stabilize situations and hopefully to avoid some, and hopefully that program will continue to grow to provide services. There was a loan program passed in that budget for a loan program for physicians and psychiatrists working in rural areas, but that's primarily in the Northeast, targeted for that area. And they had also set up a child psychiatry access line to support pediatricians serving youth with emotional disorders, or the budget called for that. I'm not sure if that's in place yet. And they were encouraging to have new medical schools open up in Green Bay and Wausau, again, trying to address that rural population. If you remember that map that we had, even though we feel our situation is bad, it's even worse in some of those northern counties. So that's where the state seems to be targeting more of the resources right now. And then we learned that the Wisconsin Hospital Association is trying to get funding to support a bed tracker so that it would be easier to identify current bed openings. Two things in the last biennial, or one thing in the last biennial budget that might give us an idea of how the state would react to looking at some relief on the mental health institutes is that they had vetoed an item that would have funded a portion of the costs that are incurred by counties for people who are in family care who then end up having a crisis, psychiatric crisis, and then go into the state hospital. Those folks are not covered by family care when they're in there. And so counties may have to absorb those costs, or very often absorb those costs. So there had been a bill, but that was vetoed, that the state would pick up some of that cost. And the other thing that in this budget, the just recently passed biennial budget, there is a limit. They approved a limit in Badger Care enrollment for childless adults to 4 years, and if that still has to be approved by the federal government, because it requires a waiver. If that's approved, then that could affect us as well, because that would be then people who are now covered under Medicaid could potentially not be covered, and that could affect our costs as well. There are two congressional bills that came to our attention. There's a House version and a Senate version of very similar bills that would there would be a limited relaxation of the Institute for Mental Disease exclusion for state hospitals and private hospitals that have an average length of stay of less than 30 days. As I tried to read through the bill, it was very difficult to get through, though it sounded as if this would be a long time in coming before it actually took effect. But there are a lot of advocates, both from Mental Health America and from NAMI, are supporting this legislation, and it seems to have, I think they were introduced, it was a bipartisan introduction, so. There is support, I think, on both sides of the aisle.
If you'd like to find out more information about those bills, I found them on NAMI's national website. There's a link to them. It gives kind of a longer summary of them, and certainly you click into the bill itself, which gets knee-deep into a lot of stuff. But if these were to pass, depending what budget neutral means, in our case, people that are on Medicaid would be covered then in a state institute, because the ones that are taking a lot of our costs are the ones now that when we send up there, Medicaid doesn't cover that cost at all. It's not allowed. So we do have some long-term stays in there that would still fall on the county to pay for, but these things, at least on the surface, would appear to be a good benefit to not only Kenosha County, but across the U.S. So.
And then the other thing, when you talk about beds with advocates for persons with mental illness, sometimes people get nervous because they would rather see dollars go into community service than into hospital beds, and they'll get nervous that too many people would be placed, that we'd go into a situation as in years past, where a lot of people were institutionalized. And so there's a fear of that among some advocates, but I think certainly what we want to see is, certainly we want to avoid a placement as much as we can, but we certainly also need to, when people do need hospital care, we want to have beds available.
Supervisor Reslaw.
Just a quick question on that. You're saying here that a bed tracker, so in theory, If that we had the, whatever this is exactly, you would know that maybe in Beloit there's an open bed. Is that mm-hmm. one? So, or I mean, am I missing?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing that they have in mind. Correct. Yeah.
So
yeah.
In theory, we could transfer some people, use that then? Would that be the thought? Instead of, well, okay, let's say, you know what I'm saying? Instead, yeah, of, instead of going to, we, they go to Beloit, is that, does that mean?
It could be. I don't know how well that would work for us. I mean, we check that now, although it's very time consuming because both ER staff and crisis staff are calling to calling St. Luke's first. They're calling Aurora. They're calling Rogers. They're called and so they're to check on, and then they're having to wait sometimes to get a response back. And that maybe this would be a faster system. But.
Would technology? I guess what I'm thinking now. With technology the way it is, maybe each one of these admitting people would be able to like search that real easily and say, well, I don't know, there's something open there. I'm wondering if that's an option.
It's possible, although very often the condition of the individual will determine whether that person will be accepted or not. So you might find that there's an open bed in Beloit or something, yeah, or but they may not accept the individual, yeah, that you want to place them.
Yeah.
Supervisor Bott.
On that same question, with this bed tracker, do all psychiatrists have admitting privileges to all hospitals all over the state? I mean, is that a concern where, well, I don't know, I don't have privileges to admit to this facility? So is that something that we're working into the bed tracker or allowing psychiatrists to do that?
It would be the psychiatrist working for that hospital that does the admission. So, it, like with us, it would be a referral from Kenosha Hospital would call St. Luke's and ask them to admit, and it would be their admitting psychiatrist who makes that decision.
But to answer your question, if you're seeing a psychiatrist, not every psychiatrist has admission rights.
Right.
So that's why you end up in the ER to do that. So like in the past, Dr. Sharma used to have admission rights. He's now retired, but prior to retirement, he stopped that. So he wasn't, if the person needed to get admitted to the hospital, they went down to the ER.
Yeah, I was just concerned of further delay, you know. I mean, if they don't have admitting rights to a certain facility, then.
A lot of them don't want it. It's not that, you know, that the hospitals are saying no, no, no. Some are, I don't know, but it's most of them just want their office hours and see people through the office and not have to do the rounds at the hospital or whatever the situation may be. I guess that's what our study will find out, maybe a little deeper on that.
Thank you.
Following off of Ms. Blau's comment, for the bed tracker, if the patients do have to go to Beloit, would we provide transportation for them? Would they provide their own?
We do provide transportation now to, yes, if they, and Beloit is just an example, but we provide, or the Sheriff's Department provides transportation now to the hospitals.
Thank you.
I get a question for you. You had mentioned that on the county board floor about contacting Representative Kirkman's office. Did you? Mm-hmm.
No, not as of yet. In fact, it was just about two nights ago that I figured out the best way to do that in a way that's more formal than what I had intended. Or I said less formal than what I had intended, but still. Probably what we should do. I mean, we can make a phone call and ask and everything, which I think is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think I want something a little more meatier. So probably a letter laying out very specifically would be the best way to do it.
They're referring to the audits that you had requested? Or that you
just the one. It's just the one.
You know, we kind of did discuss it off the record, and it seemed like it would take, was it 2 years?
At least 6 months.
And up to 2 years for completion, right? But as it was going, findings would be reported, but it could take up to 2 years to get that audit.
I don't think it hurts to ask. I mean, they can certainly do something on a preliminary basis that doesn't necessarily take as long. That's for her and for her staff to figure out how best to proceed with that. But I think it's smart for us to at least make the ask.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, it would take, six months before we start getting anything.
But and I think statewide to get a handle on this problem, that's probably the first thing that needs to happen regardless, and so...
It is, you know, but then too, it's going to be really hard to show a direct correlation, even though we know how many. We're not exactly going to see how it's going to offset, because we're talking about offsetting incarceration rates, correct?
No.
The money for incarceration rates? Because the money, we're hopeful, I think that's where you're trying to go, at least when we spoke prior, you're trying to go to say the money that we're spending on incarceration right now would kind of slide over to our, which it will, but it's going to be really hard to come up with, unless we have somewhere else to look at who's done this, it's going to be really hard for us to see how it's going to offset and how to predict that until we do it. Do you know what I mean? How the money's going to transfer, the spending's going to transfer from our proactive care and how it's going to decrease incarceration rates
and
spending?
I would look at you and say yes, but I also say from a lot of the things that I've read that it's not so difficult to necessarily do that. So
to predict?
Not to predict. We can do amazing things with numbers and with data,
well,
and the state has an awful lot of it to be able
absolutely.
To
I do statistics for a living.
Process
but
those kinds of outcomes.
It's, and until we have something to look at, it's very hard to predict for the first time. So unless we look at another area who's done something like this and we can get some kind of base for how it's affected them, it's going to be, it's, I mean, we can get the numbers. We can show how much we're spending in the jails, and we can show how much we're spending here. But until we actually implement it and see trends out there already, it's really hard to predict.
Well, it's not
how the money's
going to transfer. It's not an entire audit of DOC. Let's be clear on that first. It's just in terms of mental health expenditures.
And absolutely. And
yeah.
That's what we're talking about here.
So, I mean, we can make the ask, and we can see what happens.
Sure. Sure.
Unless you think
sure
that
the value it's going to have.
If you think that that's unwise, then we should not do that.
I worry about how much value it's going to have. I mean, it's we certainly don't know how much it's going to be offset by our proactive treatment. So it's hard to.
I don't know that necessarily proactive treatment is something that I was after. It's the premise for me was if we know and we understand that we have folks that have mental health issues that are being incarcerated. And that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the last budget, the incarceration was increased.
The incarceration rate is actually, because I sit on judiciary and law enforcement, it's actually the same in the system right now as it is outside of the system. What is it, 1 in 5, 1 in 4?
I'm just specifically speaking in terms of the state.
I'm just talking about here.
Yeah,
us.
And so whatever they're doing in terms of mental health programs and what they are spending really is the first place to look to say maybe some of that money could go to counties to be able to do something. Maybe there's a small portion of it, however big or however small, that can be moved towards a grant program to deal with the graduate education requirements of people who want to become psychiatrists. That's the kind of thing I'm saying.
I agree with you completely, and I think it's going to be even bigger than that because I think it's actually going to decrease our incarceration rates at one point once our proactive picks up.
Right.
And that's actually what I'm talking about is going to be hard for us to put a finger on right now because we have nowhere to look to see how it's impacted.
Right, and I think there are probably some localities that have done something similar to be able to get that kind of information, but I want to know specifically now, you know, are we really smart about how we're spending what we're spending in terms of DOC, specifically concerning mental health, or there's some other areas that some of that money could go, whether it's to the counties or other programs that the state has in terms of trying to address mental health.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, and they can do, you know, a preliminary audit that's maybe 2, 3, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
They can do another one that's a year or two. It just depends
on how...
You
know, you can get that here at our county level from the sheriff.
That would be...
Much more valuable to us than the state, I think, because we're dealing with our county.
No, it wouldn't, actually, because it's a statewide problem. And in terms of the things that the state is putting forward to try to address this in terms of a crisis, say, hey, you need to leverage a few more bucks behind this, as opposed to saying, you know, draft some bill that has a fiscal estimate, look at what's already being spent and try to see if maybe you can reappropriate that. That's a much easier move.
I get that would be great if we could get more state money, but we don't have that power. Do you know what I mean?
Which is why you would ask the Committee on Audit to take a look at it to see if that's possible. No?
I just...
Am I wrong? Is my logic off?
I can't see them switching money right now when we have no evidence to show how it's going to impact anything yet. I mean, I know we can get the numbers, but I can't see them switching funds from one place to
another.
Especially
when we don't have a plan.
Absolutely. There's no plan.
But the question still remains, if we know that that's what's going on, then let's take a look at that spending and see, are we really being as smart about it as we possibly can? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I think right now that's something we can definitely look at the county level. But I don't think we have enough information to go.
Aren't we already? I mean, we have the mental health treatment courts, aren't we already?
Yep. We do. We follow it all. We have all
that's
the numbers.
That's what I mean.
Spending, and that we know the rates of mental health care in our jails right now. And so, I mean, I think we can get a good handle on what's going as far as that. But as far as a statewide audit, I'm not sure what helps
those
right now.
Those treatment courts are grant-funded, are they not? Or were those grants reduced and we began to supplement it with levy to begin to keep them?
The drug court, the original grant, we received county funding for, we still have some grant money going into behavioral treatment court.
So yes
to
your question. Both? There is some county dollars going in, and we have some TAD money.
So there's county dollars for the drug treatment court, but the behavioral health, mental health is still grant funded, or you're not 100% sure?
I think so.
Yes.
That's a 3-year grant, no? Or is it longer than that? Or is it shorter?
No, it's not longer than that.
No. Probably two years,
I think.
Because I think there was some debate as to whether it was going to fall in from the state, whether it was coming from the courts, or whether it was going to come from the AG, and how that was going to shake out.
I don't know how I mean, I think the data from the jails may be more difficult to put together than the thing, because we tried to get some of that information in terms of putting together another grant, and I think they're working on having better mental health data. I don't know if it's ready or not, because certainly we haven't. There's been an interest expressed in us, and we'll be working together with them to see if we can find grant money to help with with discharge planning of persons with mental illness, people who are discharged from jail, and doing some mental health planning around that to help them connect with treatment.
Excellent. That's what's really needed.
I have a question.
Supervisor Russell.
I have a question on them. This will be a report.
Yes.
Okay. Who will is a consultant be drafting and doing it, or will it come from? Who will really be writing it? A consultant?
They would be writing it with our input.
Okay. Just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was involved with the Kenosha Unified School District. It's not this, but they did something. And the consultant came back with something that is done at a PhD level. I mean, to understand, this thing had flow charts, pie charts, circles. No, and it was to like impress everyone so much that they think I'm like, you know. My point is, you know, tell whoever, if you really want to do a good job, make it as easy to understand as possible. Just a suggestion.
Yep.
I'm sure maybe you're thinking that way, but I, you know, we're not PhDs on this stuff, and that. That's a good point. I've been down this road with a report that just I was lost the whole time.
I trust that this consultant would do that, but I will certainly make sure that. Yeah.
Thank you,
Supervisor Decker.
I noticed in here you have about Families First and things like that for the interviews. Is it a plan in the expected outcome to have a plan for children that need mental health care,
mm-hmm.
that's right, need mental health care, and then also at the same time, education of families. So we're getting before these kids need mental health care. You know, is that in the plan? So that way we can
like I said, on the county board floor, yeah, headed off at the pass.
I think, yeah, we're looking at the system that we currently have designed, the strengths that it has, and any gaps. And if that's been identified as a potential gap, certainly we'll look at enhancements and, you know, what else can we do? Because really, I mean, the study's probably going to show us a couple things, things that we can do quickly, things that maybe are a year out, and things that, you know, this nurse practitioner, physicians, how do you lure psychiatrists into your community? You know, you just don't do that tomorrow by saying, please come here. So those plans are probably a little even further out, and the connections with the schools and things like mm-hmm. that. So yeah, that certainly would be on a potential list. If that's identified as a shortfall by everybody, we'll figure out how to then to address it.
Just,
that could,
you know,
that could be a fairly quick fix potentially too. So.
Just the way, you know, and we see it here on the committee where some of the mental health issues arise because of the way children are being raised and things like that, or the households they're in. And if parents could be taught before their parents or when their children are really young that you need to not do this and this because of the what might happen when the child's older, that kind of education.
Yeah, and that kind of education, certainly they're finding, I think, in research, the importance of educating the families, both on an individual level and on a broader level, and how important that is to the recovery of individuals, both adult children and young children. It's something too that we've discussed at our there's a steering committee for the Comprehensive Community Services CCS program, and which includes both youth and adults now, and it's something that we've brought up there too about that's one area that we would like to do more in. Is the, I know NAMI does a fantastic job in terms of trying to educate, but there's so much more that's needed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Gable and Supervisor Johnson.
Let's see, it says key informants interview. I don't see Unified School District, and I'm sure they're dealing with a lot of the issues at a very young age.
Yes, I think that, yeah. Yes, thank you. That was an oversight.
And another one would be the Shalom Center, because a lot of the mentally ill come through there.
First Steps, maybe?
Well, even the food pantry, mm-hmm. the food, you know, the soup kitchen.
Absolutely.
They have people staying up there. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. they're dealing with a lot of these mentally ill people.
Very good. The veterans.
Yeah, the VA.
Mm-hmm.
Although the VA is pretty good about taking care of its own, if you
right,
can.
But
are they?
There's a key.
That's not what I hear. It's horrible.
Yeah, okay. But the county really is on the hook for the VA stuff.
No, but we still have, you know.
I agree. It's not great. No. Cancer.
So this is the question I want to ask this committee. So there's a page that has been given to us, Policy Initiatives on Mental Health Access. There are 9 bullet points on this page. Do we have any desire to engage with some activation, any of them? If so, which ones, and how would you like to proceed?
How would we engage? These are already things that have passed or been put in the budget. What do you mean by that?
Well, I guess I would probably more be speaking to the congressional bills. Although, with the Wisconsin Hospital Association, you know, the bed tracker, if we wanted to, we could have some folks from the Hospital Association come and talk to us about their efforts around mental health. We could call in the CEO of United or Aurora and say, you know, talk to us about your past history and your organization's involvement in mental health care and practices, and where does that stand now? Why do things change?
That's what our study will
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
A lot of that's going to be done here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have fairly wide discretion. Supervisor Johnson.
Are we going to, I know we had talked about this, but are we actually going to find out about partnering, you know, the differences it could make in getting them on board if we were to actually, as the county, partner with them and build an addition on? Instead, yes, I know we had discussed that, but, I mean, will we be looking into things like that as well, different areas who have done that approach? Also, I just want to make sure that we are going to look at Green Bay and find out what the climate is there and why you know, they have companies fighting over territory there to come in and build inpatient centers. And one more thing, too, that I really would like to hear about is if it is feasible for workforce development to partner with one of the academic facilities to see if we could offer some type of certification program for nurses to get, like from an RN to a certification with psychiatry, or even a PA to get certified, or a nurse practitioner to get certified in psychiatry, and have that right here, and maybe we could actually work on funding it somehow just with that certification. Another thing that we talked about after the meeting was, also, I'd really like to see if there's a way that we can do a workaround with CABA if it comes down to not being able to partner and maybe attracting one of these private facilities like Green Bay has coming in. If there's a way for us to work something out, a special arrangement with CABA to actually have them come in, you know, and help with that. That's quite lovely. I feel like
piggyback on what you were saying a little bit, I talked to Representative Kirkman, and she said that possibly there's something where it can be coordinated with this like park site around here for kind of a fast track program.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Where
they had the accelerated
program. The Green Bay has the accelerated
right.
program now.
But that could be done down here too.
That would be wonderful. And we've got the consortium. So if they could add a special psychiatric thing with the consortia, if we could work with them. And
certainly, I mean, that's one of the things that we'd ask our consultants to look into. You know, we've identified that under the psychiatric residency physician assistant nurse practitioner programs. It's a big umbrella to fit in a lot of what you're...
Yeah. And I just have one more request because I didn't see anything about it. What I know, you know, because this is my field, and I see that a lot of healthcare providers are attracted to areas that do research and that are renowned for research. And if we could consider, if we do bring an inpatient center, making it a research facility and attracting, you know, more psychiatrists who do research, and it just attracts more people as far as the healthcare providers. It's more prestigious. And I just thought, you know, and also when you're involved in studies, you actually wind up paying for a lot too within the center, because pharmaceutical companies and device companies reimburse you for your participation, so you actually wind up, you know, getting partial reimbursement for everything that you're doing
for drug testing and or things like
or
that.
Or even yes
device
so
testing.
Like let's say, and lots of it's on market already, but let's say you know, one of the MDD studies has an antidepressant that's already on market, but they want to look at something else. So when you're prescribing it, this certain set goes. They pay them per subject. They pay for the drug. They, you know, but it's not always, you know, a brand new first in human trial. It's sometimes things that have been on the market for a very long time, and we're looking at
for different indications.
Different indications, or even just looking at different effects. Right. So. It's something to look at. Maybe it's a way to attract more people here.
Supervisor Gable and Supervisor Russell.
I had talked to Todd Battle a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
maybe.
You said that.
Yeah, and we'll be able to, maybe you should put CABA on this.
We did talk about it offline, so
yeah.
I think you're going to look, I think he is looking into it.
CABA, because he says they don't look for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all And he doesn't, that's not his expertise. So if you could give him the study, and, you know, now he knows, you know, what to keep his ear to the ground
Absolutely.
For. Right? Yeah.
Maybe that's how Green Bay's pull him in,
Yeah, I'm not sure we're ready, or I don't know that we're looking at trying to get a facility in here, to be honest with you. I think we're trying to look at the current system that we have in place, and whether that's an expansion or enhancement of the care center, or maybe a smaller version of that somewhere to take these folks that are a little more difficult, that continues under that magical 16 bed or less number, because the minute we go over that, we're an IMD. And we're an IMD, we're paying. And you're paying what that state rate probably is, if not higher. So you gotta consider that also, because if you bring in a hospital and all they do is mental health, chances are they're gonna have more than 16 beds. And if we're in the same situation we are today.
But then maybe a partnership with 16 beds with one of the existing facilities, or do you know?
I mean, that's what we're going to explore. Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Supervisor, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Could you explain that a little more? Yeah. I didn't follow. Why that's a problem, and don't use a.
I won't use acronyms anymore.
Okay.
I promise.
All right. Thank you.
When I say IMD, I mean Institute for Mental Disease, and that's a federal definition for any facility that is 16 bed or more, that over 51% of the patients there are there for mental health reasons. So like the State Institute, which Winnebago,
yes,
is strictly for mental health and IOTA issues. That's an Institute for Mental Disease. The federal government came out in 1965 when they introduced Medicaid and said, states, you're not going to use Medicaid to pay for people to sit in these institutes for mental disease, because they were afraid, I think, of warehousing and people being institutionalized, like Vern said. So they cut off Medicaid ever since it started. Medicaid cannot cover those expenses. When someone goes to St. Luke's, that is not an institute for mental disease, because the majority of their hospital beds are for medical purposes and not mental health.
Right.
So okay. And that's how they can have, at one point, 45 beds, and now down to 26 or 27, and still not be classified as an institute for mental disease, because many more of their beds are for people that are there due to surgery and other medical issues.
Awesome.
So the 16 bed becomes, if that's all you're doing, that's why our care center is 11 beds. It's well underneath that 16 bed figure, and that houses people with that are in mental health crisis or also an alcohol and drug crisis. So that's where that 16 becomes important, if that's all you're going to do.
Gotcha.
Okay, I thank you. And I have one quick.
Sure.
When you're doing this, in the study, really explain Medicaid. Have them go through that, because a lot of people get confused with Medicaid, Medicare,
correct,
private insurance.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not everyone, but just, and like you just explained, why Medicaid doesn't cover these institutional expenses for, I mean, not the reason you think, but just that they don't.
That's between the ages of 22 and 64. So kids, or anybody below the age of 22 that goes into the state, there is a percent, it's like a 60-40 split. But for the population we're talking about in this, that are driving our costs, it's that age between 22 and 64 that we pick up the full freight.
Okay, yeah, and that'd be good to see that in that study. Because I think the decision really comes down to is what I was kind of thinking the other night at the meeting was, if we're looking at $2 million over budget right now, with no good things for in the future, with no potential for good news in the future, what's that $2 million going to look like next year? In the future, that $2 million is going to be 3, 4, 5. Then we're getting to a point where, but then it gets into what you just described. And I'm not saying that's the greatest of all answers, but I think that needs to be one of them. Do we expand a hospital? How join with others? I think you probably do that. So I just want to make that as I think is really we need to see that number right in front of us. It's like we're looking at $4 million next year, maybe. If this, that, I don't know.
Well, we would hope to couple whatever we come up with to address the bed issue. We would hope to be able to couple that with identifying, continuing to work at reducing the emergency detention. So if we can prevent those emergency detentions, that's the bigger key.
Yeah. So still, again, on the sheet, this is policy initiatives on mental health access. There are two congressional bills on here. Do we as a committee at some point want to take a look at those? I've heard a lot about what our staff should be doing, which is great. You all do a fantastic job and you work extraordinarily hard. My question from day one of being elected has always been, what is it that the County Board of Supervisors is going to do? We're elected to do something. This seems like this is one of those moments. So I would like guidance from all of you at this table as to what it is this committee in particular should spend time looking on and at.
I
I mean, if you want my guidance for a second.
Not particularly, no. To be really honest with you, no.
Just one brief, we've only provided a very brief summary of what those bills are. And certainly we're not experts on those at all. So there's probably, a different avenue to explore those than our little one paragraph that says these look good to us.
We can go online, get thomas.gov, plug the House number and the Senate bill number. It'll pop up. It'll show who introduced it, who the sponsors are, whether it's been in committee, whether it's received a hearing, what the status of it is. And then certainly, if we wanted to, this could be fun. We've never done this before. We could maybe set up a conference call with the staff member from whoever the chair is of that particular committee and or ranking member and see what kind of conversation we have with them, or even see where NACO stands on this and get whoever it is staffing the NACO Committee on Health, or I think they have a subcommittee on mental health, to say, what's NACO's position on this? Is there something better? I mean, that's an option that we have too. If we don't want to make a decision tonight, we can always go home and think about it.
I'm just not sure where the most value is added right now. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to decide right now where the...
I kind of like to see the study. See
absolutely.
Where we have to go. I mean, like I said, I'm sure this article is about 9,000 pages.
Sincerely doubt that.
No, but it's probably pretty big and probably covers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And... we might be better off trying to deal with it at the state level. Getting the state maybe to pick up with some of the cost.
I'd like to see the study too.
We kind of got to have the study to see where we're going.
Absolutely.
Also, when I was getting back to his budget and expenses, if one of the thoughts was, I think someone talked about to me the other week, was looking at forgiving loans for students that are going into psychiatry or something like that, or helping with tuition. Would that maybe be in there?
I think
if you look at that if you look at the county board, just the people in it, a lot aren't going to go through this detail. They're not going to care. It's just a fact. Some are, some most aren't, but they will look at this number that's increasing. They can see it, 5 million, 4 million, 3 million, and they can see what dollars spent now could save later. I think that's really what this is going to drive some attention. And maybe that's one of them. Spend a little now, but we have these people here or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because I just guarantee that there'll be many people could, even that piece of paper is going to go nowhere. So
I think that would be one of the recruitment strategies. You have to look at various recruitment strategies.
Yeah. And it was,
We have to be scholarships and reimbursements.
Yeah, stuff like
for them to with an agreement that they stay here for a set amount of time. And hopefully if we have a wing, maybe we can even pull in some interns and get some research going, help fund it.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think is good.
Some states are already doing that to get teachers. To get all kinds of things, mm-hmm. Come and work out here in this rural area with 35 people and we will give you so much to your student loans. Mm-hmm. If you stay here for 6 years, we'll pay off your student loan. They were talking like 50, 60, 70,000, but somebody coming out of psychiatric school is probably what, $150,000 to $200,000 in debt?
At least.
Well, we only need a few of them. Thank goodness.
$2 million a year gets us five, right?
Well, the leverage of this money is staggering. That if $350,000 saves us $1 million, who's winning on that?
Good investment.
I mean, that's just how volatile this is and how much.
If we do get a new unit, we may be able to attract somebody really solid into the area who's going to stay here and to run it. I mean, we're not going to.
Are we spying the sky stuff here? Is that something?
I mean, I think we have to try, but as you say, it's a national issue. So there are people throughout the country who are trying to compete for this, and I don't want to give up on it. I want to try it.
Yeah, but we're better than most places.
Right.
We're better at grant writing. We're better at taking care of our county. So
I think
so we've got a leg up. We've got you guys.
And support, I think, yeah, we can do something.
Well, whether
it's a psychiatrist or more nurse practitioners or, mm-hmm. whatever.
I mean, Kenosha is a great location. I mean, a lot of them like to work in the big city. Well, hell, we're not that far from a big city. We're not
Perfect.
That far from two yeah. big cities.
Perfect.
Yeah, we got some great universities, in a number of places. I mean, Kenosha's pretty well centrally located.
Mm-hmm.
I think
less expensive
we
got than the big cities.
Yeah, we just got to go out and sell ourselves, and mm-hmm. we got to get the word out. Like I say, like with CABA, and mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can live in Chicago and pay $3,000 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, or come to Kenosha and buy a house. for $3,000 a month.
Well, that's where I think CABA will come in, to sell Kenosha, that part of it. I mean, we can offer them grants and that, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they want more than just that. If they see
sure.
Kenosha and CABA can sell them on what a great place it is to work, then they'll come here and they'll stay.
City of Chicago's got a $500 million tax increase.
What would also is having us educate them here. I mean, for example, dental hygienists, we have that at Gateway, and we have tons of dental hygienists because it's here.
Mm-hmm.
They come, they're from here, they know that the school's there.
Mm-hmm.
They go to school for that. If we actually had the school here
mm-hmm.
for the nurse practitioners or psychiatrists in general, we have it here, we'll attract them to come here too, which would help.
Place and they'll
exactly.
stay.
Mm-hmm.
We did have at Kenosha Human Development Services when one of the previous physician's assistant was able, she did some, she had some interns, I think from Pennsylvania, I think it was, and that worked with her and trained there. She had the certification to be a supervisor, whatever, trainer, and unfortunately, those folks left the area. So it's, I think you have to try those things. I think you have to try what you talked about in terms of being able to take people who do live here and maybe help them toward an advanced degree.
Mm-hmm.
They're maybe more likely to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we do that stuff already through workforce development with like CNC and CNAs. And so, I would think it would be something that would be feasible,
I guess we wait for the study and see what some realistic targets are.
I think before we move away from this, I just want to remind folks about a few things. Like it was stated before, this is a nationwide problem. I think the number that I recall reading was somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 people a year graduate from psychiatry programs. I think that might have been in terms of PhDs. I don't recall exactly. One of the things that was cited as a major problem in terms of increasing the number of folks with psychiatry degrees was the federal 1997 budget amendment, which put a cap on, I want to say, it was Medicaid dollars going for graduate medical education. Our congressman is still chair of the budget committee, is he not?
What do you say? You're saying Medicaid money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Medicaid money going to what?
In terms of graduate medical education.
I've never ever heard of Medicaid paying for any education.
If you're Medicaid or Medicare, I don't remember which one, but one of them does do that.
It was in that article that we handed out at the meeting.
That they pay somewhere in there.
I don't know exactly, but he's referring to information that was in that article. I don't know exactly what they mentioned, but it was something from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is still noted as a problem.
Yeah.
A pretty significant
article,
one.
But, yeah, I don't.
Because it caps the number of folks that you can have in those residency programs to gain their education. So.
I just want to mention one more thing, too, and this is completely long-term, but we need to have a long-term game, too. I know we go into schools and we talk to kids about careers. You know, maybe this is something that we need to also bring up when we're going to high school and we're talking to kids about careers. You know, maybe this is something we need to actually make sure we talk to kids about, you know, push the counseling and the psychology and the psychiatry fields while we're in schools.
We were talking about CNC and welders.
But I
don't talk about all of them, you know, but just because we need it, because we're going to need them to come up, and you know what I mean? We're going to need them to refill and backfill. And but I think if we, you know, at least like we would with anything else, proactively start that conversation so it's in their head and it's an option in their head.
Have either of you been told about the shortages?
No, I was just going to say that. I know so many people that are, I'm taking AP Psychology right now, and I know other people that are taking AP Psychology. It's a very common class, and everyone that takes it loves it. No one says, oh, I did not like that class ever. But no one is going into college thinking, I'm going to major in psychology, because even though they love the class, a lot of them feel like it's just not functional. Like, what am I going to do with a psychology degree? Where am I going to go with that?
That's
so generic.
That's
where I went with it.
But that's
no,
not
like, no, but that's what you think of. No, but everyone loves psychology, but no one's willing to, like, pursue it because they don't know what they could possibly do with
it. That's where your psychology teacher should be saying, hey, this is what you can do, and there's a shortage.
Absolutely.
And
so,
not even, you know, you don't even have to go to your guidance counselor, because, like, when I was in high school, mine didn't help at all. It's pointless. But your teacher could be saying, hey, do you like this? You can, so get, you
mm-hmm.
know,
right.
All it takes is planting that seed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they do, I mean, you know, at one point, they were telling everybody, you want a job when you get out of college, go to engineering. You want
absolutely.
A job when you get out of college.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why aren't they saying, you want a job? Right. Become a psychiatrist.
Yeah, we have enough lawyers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never, like, this is the first I've heard about it being a shortage.
And the PA, I mean, the PA is, there's even a non-master's PA program that they have right over the border. So, I mean, if you add psychiatry certification to that, I mean, that's pretty feasible. That's not, you know, like 12 years of school or anything like we are in psychiatry, but, you know, they can still write scripts, they can still work under a doctor, and it's a
that might be a good opportunity for internship connection and get them into our clinics and stuff.
What is it, University of Illinois? I think I have a friend who graduated.
Well, at Rosalind Franklin University right in North Chicago has a PA program.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure Northern Illinois does too, I believe.
I don't know if they have a psychiatry
So can I ask, because I remember a few years ago this was something that was not, it was an area of struggle for us. How are we with recruiting and retaining primary care physicians? Because I think at one point in time, we weren't doing so hot with that. Has that improved?
There are a lot of areas of shortages. I mean, it's not, I mean, psychiatry is certainly one of the worst, but neurologists and primary, but there have been some, we've heard from some elderly having difficulty getting getting into a new primary care physician. So yeah, the problem is bigger than just psychiatry.
Make sure your doctor's younger than you so you all
live. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who graduated with her undergrad in psych, and she was extraordinarily disappointed because she said, it really doesn't do anything for me unless I'm able to get a master's, and she had a hell of a time trying to get into a master's program. I don't think she ever did. My brother graduated with a degree in psych, actually. He's a youth pastor. Go figure. So I'm just thinking about, like, the cost of the undergrad, the cost of the master's, the cost of the PhD. Which institutions do master's and PhD coursework, both public and private, what those costs are now. And I'm just taking all that into account.
Mm-hmm.
I know we like to say, simply, look, there's plenty of jobs here. You should do this. I was raised in a generation where people looked at us and said, do what you're passionate about. So, you know, to know that there's an area where, yeah, I could go, I could make $70,000, I could make $120,000, that's great. That may not necessarily be what my passion is. I wasn't told to go make money. I was told to go be passionate. That's very different.
I was told to go make money.
You're not going to spend 12 years going to school and not be passionate about it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, if you're going to go become a psychiatrist or a nurse practitioner, I mean, you know, your passion may be music, but you also got to live.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing that.
Got to pay the rent.
And you can get a PA now with a four-year degree. You can get a PA with a four-year degree, and they have prescription writing privileges as long as they work under a doctor. So
we're not going to fix the medical profession or the schools.
No, but it is a good idea to know what paths they can take and to be able to guide people in our community who are interested in the right direction, to be able to help them, to be able to offer certifications, to switch from RN to a psychiatric RN, a PA to a psychiatric PA.
Especially now, I mean, we have a bunch of kids that have graduated that can't find jobs because they went into fields that there aren't jobs. Then hopefully this next crop of kids coming up see their older brothers and sisters going, hey, she's still living in my parents' basement because she can't get a job. I should look for a job that actually they are looking to hire people.
Yeah.
For example, welders and, you know, CNAs, but also psychiatrists and things like that. Hopefully we get kids that...
Isn't that how the nursing program started here with Gateway? I mean,
yeah.
Didn't we just get nurses we just can't turn them out. We
yes.
can't turn them out fast enough. They make a great living. And they're always, like, whenever I guide a young person, they come back and they tell me there's, like, a two-year waiting list. And it's just...
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean, we're really... They're really turning them out, so...
I thought that's what the high school... guidance counselors and the teachers. I mean,
let's hear from the high school.
Why point a kid to a job at McDonald's when we can point them to a job in, you know, psychiatric nursing or something?
Could we work with Gateway to have them at least bring in some kind of a certificate in psychiatry that their RNs could take and add on? I mean, is that even possible? I would think it would be easier to add it to Gateway than it would at Wisconsin at the state level, right?
Well, our nursing program is done, through Parkside, is done in conjunction with UW-Milwaukee. UW-Milwaukee and UW-Madison are the only two public institutions that both grant doctoral degrees as well as, obviously, master's programs. So ideally, what you would probably want is you would want to first have a conversation with Chancellor Ford about how strong their psychology department is there. What does the student enrollment base look like there, and say, is there some sort of agreement that you can have, perhaps with UW-Milwaukee, between the two of you chancellors, and work that out so that there can be something similar? That's probably the conversation that you want to have.
I'm sure that they could, but what I'm saying is I think it would actually be easier for us to implement something here at a local level at Gateway. And that would be in addition to the RN, if they could just do a psychiatric certificate to go with their... It's supposed to be a two-year RN program, but I'm sure it usually takes 3 years.
We were talking earlier about that accelerated program that was in the paper, you know,
mm-hmm.
that article
mm-hmm.
that they gave to us at the committee of the whole
mm-hmm.
meeting, that they have at Green Bay. They graduated 38 people. It's like, what is this? You know, how come we don't have this?
We'd love to find
out more about that.
But even just adding that, if we could grab some nurses, pull in some nurses and PAs and offer some kind of a psychiatric certificate
mm-hmm.
that they could just transfer over into that field.
But those persons still have to work under a doctor. That doesn't absolve us of having that as a problem.
But we have to address all of it. It's not, we don't have a one fix for everything. There's got to be mechanisms in place to touch all of it. So we need nurses,
our biggest
we need
need right
doctors,
now is,
we need PAs.
Is our biggest need right now is people that can prescribe. So,
yep.
you know, you're talking to physician assistants.
Nurse
practitioner under a doctor's orders and things like that. So,
and I think with the nurse pract- practitioner. It might be our better route, because I think a nurse practitioner now doesn't have to work under the supervision. But I think they can prescribe without being under, so that might be the better route. But then you have to have, I would be surprised if Gateway could provide that. I think you need, there are special
programs for that. Just the psychiatric? Because I know they already have PAs. I mean, we already have PAs. We already have nurse practitioners who can prescribe in the area. But if they could just extend it for that specialty, for that psychiatric component of it, whatever classes, do you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Where they already have their degrees and they're already here. But
it's like there's so much in demand.
Yes, if it's like six more psychiatric classes they need or whatever.
I don't know if we have enough nurse practitioners here to fill the demand, or if we'd be better off trying to get support a nurse to become a nurse practitioner or something.
Is there a reason that you don't you're not interested in PAs too?
Oh, we are. Yeah, that would be part of the study.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, because they can write prescriptions as well.
They can, but they have to be under the
doctor.
Under the doctor, and if we have a shortage of doctors, it's a
problem. Is there a limit to how many PAs and nurse practitioners that a psychiatrist can
oversee?
You know? Do you know?
I don't know.
No idea.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, a lot to explore, a lot of good ideas to just explore, but we're going to have to implement a lot of things.
It's all going to take
after
time.
The study.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Nope, I mean, it's not going to be a one fix. It's going to be a whole plan, a whole strategy.
So how does the youth and governance, how do your guidance counselors guide you to help you out choosing a career? Or
maybe we should have some guidance counselors.
I know mine didn't really.
Same.
I figured out mine from just being in sports, because I want to eventually be a physical therapist. So I just figured mine out by being in sports and taking.
Everyone wants to be physical therapist. My niece and nephew are both goals.
And taking my human anatomy classes, and AP psychology helped me too. And so just the classes I took.
Yeah, I don't know, my guidance counselor didn't really help me that much. I mean, she makes my schedule, but I feel like that's about it. Like, when it comes to career wise, she's like, you should be an engineer because you're a girl, and that's awesome because there's no girl engineers. And I don't even
like
math. I was like very hesitant to take a math this year. So it was kind of like in through one ear out the other.
So something that should be also put on the study is that we need to get into the high schools and make them aware of these situations, because obviously the guidance counselors are not doing that. I don't know if that's a partnership with KUSD or...
Yeah, we've written them down as far as some of the key forums.
Yeah, I remember in high school we had a list, I think it was my junior or senior year of, here, top performing jobs, maybe you want to go here. There was like 10 of them, so if you were planning on going to college, you could start. Of course, everybody changed their mind 2 years into college when the bar closed.
But they're at least aware of, you were at least aware of top positions.
I mean, like you say, that's what the counselor did. They had job fairs. It wasn't quite that. But they would sit you down and say, here, this is the fields that are looking for help. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be a singer, so you're not going into music, but you're not half bad with math. Look at engineering. At that time, they were looking all over the world for engineers.
Yeah.
For the record, not that it matters, but since we're going down memory lane, my music director in college looked at me and said, "You don't want to be in my Mozart rehearsals. You like being out there protesting and advocating for people. Go into politics." And I didn't think he was serious until I continually showed up at his studio for viola lessons, totally unprepared, and he kicked me out. So thusly, I became a county board supervisor and a much better musician, because now I like to practice. Is there anything else on agenda item 6?
That's our update for tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Agenda item 7, such other business is authorized by law.
Oh, I have
don't think there is any. Agenda item number 8, committee member comments. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question. I don't know if it, I should have said this at the end of the mental health update, but I was kind of confused about what this study actually was.
The very lovely lady in the pearls can answer that question.
They weren't at the county board meeting, so.
Well, the reported to the committees and both Human Services Committee and Finance Committee about the our increase in costs for hospitalization of persons with mental illness when they reach a crisis and need hospitalization. We have not been able to place them at St. Luke's where we would normally do so because they've reduced the number of beds available. They have mental health beds. So we've had to place a lot of people at the state hospitals at much higher expense. That triggered a discussion about the shortage of hospital beds overall for people with mental illness and the
I apologize. They look like they want to leave. And I know, like, this is good, and we can talk a little more. So do we want to take a motion to adjourn, or y'all can continue if that's
motion
okay?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Blau, Youth and Governance. Yeah. You get to vote first on whether to close the meeting.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. The committee stands adjourned.
We'll keep talking.
So anyway, it triggered a discussion about the shortage of psychiatrists and the shortage of mental health hospital beds. And so what we want to do is to engage. There are a lot of elements that come to play, which you've heard here. So we're engaging a consultant to help us with a study that would look at all the factors that would contribute to that and possible solutions to those problems, and also identifying things that could help prevent hospitalization.
Thank you.
In this 1997 Budget Act that you keep referring to, I read most of the stuff while we're talking. It appeared that they did something in 1999, let's just say, to help correct that problem.
Is that a CRS that you're looking at?